Here's Pastor Jeff.
Ephesus was a church that meandered. May I ask you, are you meandering? Are you just kind of going with the flow, kicking back, cruising? Is that your life? Then you're going to lose out. You're going to get away from your first love. And you're going to meander right into the devil's impact zone. Danger will await you. And you'll be in confusion. And you'll have a tough time with your relationship with the Lord. We must not meander.
Discerning the thoughts and the intents of my heart.
As you look at all that's going on around us, don't you get the feeling that the Lord is coming very soon? Today on Sound Doctrine, we'll be encouraged to redeem the time, make the most of the time that we have left. That was certainly on the Apostle Paul's heart and mind in Acts chapter 20. So let's turn there now as we hand things over to Pastor Jeff Johnson for this amazing counsel for these difficult last days that we now find ourselves in the middle of.
Plans to reproof and correct my soul. Plans to transform and make me whole. Lord, your word is truth. Give me understanding.
So redeeming the time, Acts chapter 20. We left off in verse 13 of Acts chapter 20. Now, as you're turning there to Acts, I just want to read a little excerpt out of Ephesians 5, where Paul says this. He says, "See then that you walk circumspectly. Don't be foolish, but be wise. Redeem the time," he says, or redeeming the time, because the days are evil. "Wherefore, be ye not unwise or stupid." Don't be stupid. Don't be stupid, man. "But understand what the will of the Lord is." And I think we can all say, yeah, tell me. I want to know what the will of the Lord is. And then he goes on and says, "And not be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Good counsel for us in these last days. 2/3 of my life is gone. And yet we're all getting older. Every single last one of us. My kids are hitting 40. What's that all about? But I always feel young. You know how that is. And I'm always saying to my wife, "Honey, they're older than I am, right?" And she always likes to pick me up by saying, "Have you looked in the mirror lately?" So she's always blessing me with those thoughts. And there was a lady who was getting older, and she went to her friend, and she said, "Do you think I look 35? And her friend looked back, and she said, "No, but you once did." It seems that, you know, heaven's not that far away for a lot of us. And time is ticking. And they do say that the age 21 is a key age, that we ripen until the age 21, and then after 21, we begin to rot. And someone said that at 21, you know, everything begins to shrink after that. The only thing that grows, and they've done tests on this, is the nose and the ears. So we're looking really weird when we get really older. I'm serious. They did tests on it. Clairol. Oh, good old Clairol. "You're not getting older, you're getting better." They lied then, didn't they? Reality is, I love what James says. He just, right on the line, you know. "Your life is but a vapor, here today and gone tomorrow." Whew, and now, that's fast. A vapor. And you know, a fog. You know, you see it one moment, you turn this way and you look again and it's gone. That's how fast life is fleeting. Only one life, soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Something to meditate on, to think about. My prayer is that God will show us, as the psalm we read this morning, and I do want to go back to that psalm a number of times and just share a few verses, because I think it says so much. In Psalm 90, verse 12, he says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Then he goes on to say in verse 17 at the end of the verse, "And establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it." Show us, as Jesus said, you put your hands to the plow and you don't turn around. There's work to be done. We always struggle with the best ways to deal with our money, to invest. Some people are dabbling in stocks and to thinking about retirement, trying to set up for that, all these things going on. But what about, and here's my question, our need to invest in heaven and in souls? What about that investment? What about that work? Sometimes I think we get so caught up in the now and in the physical, we forget about the spiritual. And I think that really hangs us up. Because Jesus said in Matthew 6, just jot this down, Matthew 6, 19, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth, rust corrupts, thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, where thieves do not break in to steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Where is your treasure? What are you doing? Many get ripped off right there. The dividends are so great, and you'll never get ripped off as you invest in souls and in heaven above. Never get ripped off. Now, Paul understood this. Paul said, "For me to live is what? It's Christ." Now, that definitely is something to think about. For me to live is Christ. What it does, the impact that it has in hearts and lives, your testimony, your life, you as a person can have as we get before our God on our faces. You can do it, God. Paul's on his third missionary journey. Chapter 20 reveals a number of different farewells that he has. First of all, his farewell journey is verses 1 through 5 we've looked at. His farewell service we're looking at, and we've looked at some of it. And then this is his farewell service is from verses 6 through 16. And then his final farewell message is from verses 17 to 38. Here we see Paul concerned with the clock ticking. That's something that was always on his heart. Time is moving on. And he was redeeming the time here. Paul has met up with his team in Troas, and that was the meeting place where they were to meet. Pressed for time, he shared a six-hour message. He had a lot on his heart, and he had a lot to share with them. So he went on like the energizing bunny. 6 hours, where a young boy was killed. Falling asleep, he fell from the window 3 stories. And instead of being a somber, depressing end to his visit, it was an unforgetful event of victory in the Lord as God put life back into the boy. And the boy woke up after being dead. And breath was put back into the boy. It ended up being a celebration and a time of praise. And that's in verse 12. That's where we left off. It was awesome. But now, verse 13, as we go verse by verse. "And we went before to ship and sailed unto Assos, there intending to take in Paul, for," notice, "so had he appointed, minding himself to go afoot." The King James cracks me up, just the way it puts it, you know. And in English words, it really says that Paul said, "I'm going to walk, guys. You sail. I'll see you there." And they said, "Okay." And that's, you know, really what it says here. Which is interesting. Notice in verse 13, "we." Remember, when we say "us" and "we," that's Luke. He's writing Acts. "So Luke and the others sailed to Assos, 40 miles by ship. Interesting. But Paul, wanting to redeem the time, he wanted to... And what does redeeming the time mean? It means to buy up an opportunity, okay? Paul had an opportunity to separate himself from humans. Sometimes we need to do that. From your fellow peers. From the busyness of whatever you're into and whatever's going on. Paul said, this is an opportunity for me to get alone with the Lord. Evidently, you know, this 20-mile little stretch of land that he was going to be walking is on the coast of Asia Minor. I am sure that it's beautiful. At this time of the year, it was picturesque as he was going to take this walk on the Roman road, because that's where the Roman road came down, all the way from Rome. This is a well, nice road that you can walk on. So he was just kind of going to take a stroll there, and he would meet them the next day in Assos. Now, it would take him approximately 10 hours to make this walk. Listen, guys, walking is not only good physically, it is also good spiritually. And I'm not talking about a power walk with your, you know, your music going. And I watched people power walk, man, and they're just doing it towards the music, you know, and they're just into doing the power walk and they're losing weight and getting fit. And I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just getting out in your neighborhood and taking a walk and getting your eyes on the Lord. And every once in a while, you notice the crack in the cement, the ant hole, and the flowers. You take time to smell them. You just, you know, and I know that this is what exactly what Paul was doing. Just taking this, I'm sure, a brisk walk and just keeping the pace going, but he's the whole time in prayer with his Lord. This is healthy. Remember what the Song of Solomon says, come away, my love. And that's really what Jesus is saying to his church today. I want to spend time with you. You need to spend time with me. Let's build a relationship. Let's be one-on-one. That's how you get relationships with your wives, your children. Let's now do it spiritually. Let's come away, my love, and let's talk. Let's walk. And so Paul took advantage of this. He knew tough times were ahead of him. Guys, if you remember, I think one of the greatest illustrations is Mary and Martha. And you remember the whole thing there in Luke chapter 10. Martha, it was her house, of course. She was busy in the kitchen. And Mary. And it says about Mary, who also sat at his feet. Notice that she was helping in the kitchen with Martha. Hey, without Martha's, we don't eat, guys, right? Thank God for Martha's. But Martha was totally into it. And Mary said, you know what, I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back, you know. And so she ran and sat at his feet. Jesus, finally, you know, Martha came in and said, what about this one? What is she doing? She needs to come in and help me. Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you're cumbered about many things. You're freaking out here. You're losing it. But Mary did that which was needful. She has chosen the good part. And you know what, guys? There's times where we need to have a balance in our lives. And some of you are Marthas all the way, and you are on burnout. You're just, you know. So, take a minute. Take a breath. Get alone. Huddle up. Nice blanket, fireplace, and the Word of God. And do that which is needful for you. Spend some time in the Word. Spend some time with Him. It will be beneficial. It prepared Mary for what was coming up in the next few weeks as her brother would die. And she would know exactly what to do. Martha, again, is freaking out. She has not a clue what to do. She lost it. How do you think Mary knew what to do? Well, she had a relationship. She knew exactly what the Lord wanted her to do at pressure times. The need for balance. Now, they were going to Jerusalem. It was going to get tough. Hey, listen, guys, we are living in the end times. This is the height of spiritual warfare. Come on. It's never been this tough on a generation. I mean, spiritually speaking, the attacks of the enemy. What's going on in our world right now? This is the peak. It's peaking right now. And you know, a lot of times we go, what are you talking about, man? I don't know what you're talking about. You know, you're getting numb to it, man. You're not sensitive to that which is above. Set your affection on those things that are above. And all of a sudden you'll begin to sense what's taking place around you is horrific. There's nothing like prayer to strengthen us and prepare us for battle. I'm sure he was putting together his message for the upcoming pastor's conference that he knew he was coming to. There's just something about being in his presence. There's fullness of joy in his presence, the psalmist says. It's true. Over in Psalm 37, in verse 23, he says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. So Paul, just trying to get his steps ordered, just trying to get things squared away. Because if we're not praying, guys, then we're going to enter into confusion and feel out of order. But God wants to direct our path. And so prayer is vital as air for our breathing. You take a breath of air and you go, oh, thank you, Lord. And yet, so is prayer for the Christian as we breathe in the goodness of our God, the relationship. James says it this way. Just jot the scripture down. James 4, he says, you lust, you have not. You desire to have, you cannot obtain. You fight, you war, and yet you have not because you ask not. And then when you ask, you receive not. Why? Because you ask amiss, that you might consume it upon your own lusts. And you're saying, yes, Lord, get me the BMW, and I will take many to church. And that's consuming it on your own lusts. That's wrong. But then he goes on to say, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. Draw near to God. He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. And then Peter follows right in suit there in 1 Peter 5. He says, humble yourselves, casting your care upon him, because he cares for you. But be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, he's walking around seeking whom he may devour. You can resist him steadfast, he says, as you seek him, as you seek the Lord. So prayer is good. Don't try to do it before you go to sleep and you get on your knees and you got your elbows on your bed, your hands are crossed and your head is in your hands, because you're going to find that it's a beautiful place and a beautiful position to fall asleep in. Now, if you want to go to sleep, then that's a good way to start your sleep. But we need to watch and pray. We need to walk and pray, ride and pray. We just flat out need to pray. And Paul said, I need to get away from you guys. I need to get away from everything. I'm going to, for the next 10 hours, I'm going to pray. Oh, I love it. Look at verse 14. And when he met with us at Assos, we took him in. So they met up with one another. And then we came to Mytilene, and we sailed thence and came the next day over against Chios. And the next day we arrived at Samos and tarried at Trogyllium. And the next day we came to Miletus. So we're talking about they're moving out, right? They're just going for it. For Paul, notice, had determined to sail by Ephesus, just sail right by Ephesus, not even stop, because he would not spend the time in Asia, for he hasted, and that's a Luke thing, a term, he uses it a number of times, he hasted, he was in a rush, if it were possible for him to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. Again, we see Paul redeeming the time. Instead of going into Ephesus, wasting time, getting bogged down in that very large city, taking care of church affairs, which he knew was waiting for him when he got there, he actually sent for the elders, there in Ephesus, and there were many elders there. There were, that was kind of the key place of a lot of the pastors where they would meet. And he sent for them, all of them, to come to Miletus to save time. Notice verse 17. And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. He said, this is where we're going to meet. Now, Miletus is at the mouth of the Meander River. Meander River. You know what it means to meander? Ephesus was a church that meandered. May I ask you, are you meandering? Are you just kind of going with the flow, kicking back, cruising? Is that your life? Then you're going to lose out. You're going to get away from your first love. And you're going to meander right into the devil's impact zone. Danger will await you. And you'll be in confusion. And you'll have a tough time with your relationship with the Lord. We must not meander. We must be steadfast. We must be consistent. We must be our face towards the Lord in these days and nowhere else. See, that's not meandering. That's not just kind of cruising and just doing, well, just, you know, same old life is this and life is that. And you just kind of keep doing the same thing, get into a routine or a rut. The Lord always wants us to be vigilant and sober. But many of us get drunk with the things of the world. And we begin to do foolish things and make foolish decisions that will last a lifetime. We must learn to wait on the Lord. Get close to Him. Get His counsel. The steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. God wants to bless us, to use us. But this mouth of this river, it was so incredibly flowing that the silt that came down from the mountains in this river called the Meander. The reason they call it the Meander River, it just went like this. It kind of S'd all the way through the valley. I've seen the river. And yet it's just barely there. Miletus is no longer a harbor because the silt just built up to the place where it's no longer a harbor. It's on dry land now. And Ephesus is way back in there. And it's just an interesting name for a river. About 30 miles now south of Ephesus, they're at Miletus. Now, this, of course, to Paul was a time saver because they're going to have to unload the boat and then load the boat with new things. So evidently, he had to take a ship and he had to decide whether he was going to go to Ephesus and do the unloading and all that or to Miletus. Miletus was quicker. It was going to be a quicker turnover. Everything, he looked into it. He said, we're going to Miletus. We'll have the brethren come here. We'll just have this time for a conference together. Then a quick getaway from there directly then into Caesarea and then into Jerusalem.
That's Pastor Jeff Johnson encouraging us to redeem the time through his study of Acts chapter 20. And this is Sound Doctrine. Pastor Jeff's message can be heard online, by the way, at sounddoctrineradio.org or through our free app. Just do a search for Calvary Chapel Downey in the App Store or Google Play. We can also send you a CD copy of this message when you give us a call. The number is 800-353-7553. Our featured resource today is a book written by Pastor Jeff. It's called Ruth, A Love Story. Do you enjoy a good love story? Well, the book of Ruth features just that. We see godly Boaz as a Christ figure, loving and cherishing his bride, Ruth, who symbolizes the church. Through Ruth, we see the romance of redemption, revival, and restoration. God loves to restore his children for his glory. This small yet powerful book reveals the true cost of redemption and Christ's willingness to be our mediator. That's Ruth, A Love Story by Pastor Jeff. For just $5. You can order it online at sounddoctrineradio.org or Call 800-353-7553. Anything above that amount, by the way, will go straight to helping us cover the costs of being on the radio. I wish you could see all that the Lord is doing through this ministry. We only get a glimpse of it on our end, but it is amazing. Lives are being encouraged, strengthened, blessed through the teaching of the Word. To stand with us today, visit sounddoctrineradio.org or call 800-353-7553. And thank you in advance. Well, it's time for us to part ways, but we're looking forward to another great time in Acts tomorrow on Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff. We'll see you then. Sound Doctrine is furnished on this station by Calvary Chapel Downey.
Lord, your word is truth. Give me understanding.